is. It's like the world's got a memory.
Woo, man.
If you look...
The world's got a fucking memory, man.
I'm next.
I'm going to pass it round, okay, man.
My turn.
Oh, have got, a puff on the ball.
I've got a blimp burn on the jeans.
Shut up.
Oh, my God.
Shut up.
It's some good shit, man. The world's got a memory.
Episode 2 of Season 3 of Lug Radio, the show which, I ought to point out, does contain swearing.
Yes.
And adult themes.
Quite a lot of swearing, actually.
Not too much, not too much.
Who are you?
I am Stuart Langridge.
I'm Matthew Reeval.
I'm joined with Jono Bacon, and I'm Abe Bradshaw.
What are you, Siamese twins or something?
Yeah, we're conjoined.
Which one are you?
The good-looking one.
He's the arse.
The bald one.
What do you want to talk about this week?
Linux.
Good idea.
Good idea.
Thanks for that.
I think we should talk to a couple of people.
Cartoon strips. Everyone loves Eric Raymond. Let's talk to him.
That's brilliant. John Leach from that. He does that stuff.
Absolutely. He's a dude, so let's talk to him.
Peter Hollingsworth from Metro in New Zealand.
Yes. Yep.
Let's talk about Web 2.0 and Ajax and whether it's worth the hype in a new segment.
How interesting.
How very interesting.
Let's talk about
where we think Linux needs to go.
Where's it going forward?
What about open source in general, where that needs to go? Should we talk about that?
Well, what I meant. Sorry.
Can we have a big hug at the end of the recording?
I don't know.
We always have a big hug.
We can, although you may want to, if you're going to have a big hug, put down the spliff for a moment, because I think the world's got a memory. and we need to talk.
The world, man, has got a memory, man.
Fucking amen.
Fucking amen.
I like the idea of the world has a memory.
What, just one massive tit that everyone can hug?
Fantastic. Come on, let's get on with it then.
Can you imagine the big Ubuntu circle around this massive tit? Hypershite. That's right. Hypershite.
Hypershite.
Following on from the success of Shit or Treat.
Shit or Treat!
Thank you, Matthew. What we're going to do over the next three programs is we're going to have this section called
Hypershite!
And basically it's, is it hype?
Or is it
or
shite?
Is it shite? So this week's topic, we're actually going to talk about Web 2.0.
2.0.
And we're going to discuss whether it's...
Hypershite!
1.0.
A new paradigm in shitey niceness.
Thank you. So, Web 2.0 then, boys. Who wants to go first? Does somebody want to explain what Web 2.0... and I'm looking towards the ginger man at this point.
Come on, King.
What is Web 2.0, first of all, and then we'll do, is it hype or shite?
I'm kind of obliged to jump in at this point, aren't I?
Yes,
not much jumping going on this.
What with this being my fucking specialist subject and all?
Do you want to play the Joker?
Does that mean I don't have to explain it? the Web 2.0 thing is... kind of a buzzword which encompasses a lot of shit.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it hyper shit?
No, we're going to get onto that. We need to define what it is.
Sorry, carry on. We'll get onto whether it's hyper shite later.
Is it a shit term like DHTML?
No, it's more shit than that. Because to go into it, you've got a thing called Ajax, which in itself was a shitty marketing term for the idea that websites or web pages could change themselves dynamically, basically.
Or parts of them could.
It helps have a term that sums that up, though.
Parts of them could change dynamically, and Ajax was a term put on that by a bloke at Adaptive Path.
Yeah.
And then someone said, well, we can do loads of other things, like tie stuff like that and Flickr together, and we can have XML formats and stuff like that. And it all got rebranded under the... some people have decided to rebrand it, like O'Reilly, under the term Web 2.0. And it's supposed to be a kind of catch-all term for the whole
thing. Is it a
next-generation
web sort of thing?
Yeah.
That's a bad thing, is it?
Isn't the idealistic part of it the fact that you can take a page and just edit it?
I mean, I thought the whole point of Web 2.0 was that the web would become far more user-oriented and
far more editable,
far more application-oriented, more of a two-way thing.
It feels more like a fat client.
Yeah, exactly.
That seems to be the way they're going forward. So it feels
like
a real
application. Right?
I ought to illustrate.
You're going to take the piss out of fat client?
No, I'm not. I wasn't going to mention to him. I've got nothing but respect for fat clients myself.
You being one of them.
Me, but I'm not a client.
To your solicitor.
the point here is that. You've all heard of Web 2.0, and we just heard four completely different definitions of it. Abe thinks it's about editing stuff. Matt thinks it's about a user-focused web. And that's the point. It's kind of...
I don't have an opinion, obviously.
I just can't remember what your opinion was because I wasn't listening.
I think you said something about Fat Client.
Thanks a fucking bunch.
But that's the thing. It's kind of an umbrella marketing term, which is being used to rebrand loads of fairly disparate and not very well-connected concepts. The point is, are these concepts going to be the way the web goes?
Is it hype?
Or is it shite?
Now, so, two questions, right?
Two.
About
that's a bit greedy.
One
question.
I'm feeling greedy, to be honest.
Go on.
Right, two. The first thing is, you said earlier on about how, you said a very derogatory term. You kind of made out that the term Ajax is not a good thing. You see, that's the impression I got from you, knowing how cynical you are. Is that because...
Me?
Yeah. Is that because web people are pissed off by the term Ajax because it doesn't actually make any sense? Or is that just because web people are going to be pissed off with anything?
Yeah,
like
a stick in the mud.
Yeah. Because, we were here before this whole Ajax thing kicked off, so we need to be seen as the experts sort of thing.
The two sides I would say there are in the web community, if it exists, are the side of people who say it's really important to have a handy, useful term which you can use, like Ajax, and everyone knows what you mean. Rather than having to say, using DOM scripting and XML HTTP request techniques refresh parts of the page.
That is the principle of the English language. Yeah.
It just seems, whenever I speak to web people, and Simon Willison is excluded from this, because I know if he's listened to this, he might think I'm referring to him.
What about Drew McClellan? He might be listening.
I didn't really
speak
to Drew McClellan, but Simon Willison is excluded from this, and you are as well. But a lot of people seem very, very snobbish about the term Ajax, a lot of web developers.
Is it a term that...
I think a lot of people are. I mean, there is a small underside of the fact that they decided to think of a term which could rebrand the web for the next century. What are they doing? They named it after Bog Cleaner, which is not very good.
It might be Bog Cleaner in the UK.
And a football team.
Yeah, and a football team, you know. But that's not really it. I agree with you. Some people are snobbish about the fact that... you shouldn't have a term which kind of encompasses these things. You should be actually explaining what it is. Now, I'm in favour of the term myself. I must admit it. I think Ajax is a perfectly fine term.
I'll be going home in my four-wheeled metal-based automobile
with rust
machine.
It strikes me as a term that's quite appley, if you know what I mean. It's like it's bright and shiny and
it's
everything.
It's very buzzwordy, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly
like
what I mean. Yeah.
It is a buzzword.
So
absolutely.
Is the technology underneath worth it? Is it hype or is it shite?
I have a view.
Go on. What's your view?
My view is that, for the user, it's brilliant.
Yes.
Because it's very dynamic. I mean, well, we've been banging on about Frapper.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic how you can type. I typed in WOLV and then it filled out Wolverhampton.
That's Ajax.
And that's Ajaxy goodness. Yeah. That's great.
Frapper itself.
Eh?
Frapper itself.
Is Frapper a Web 2.0?
Depends on your point of view.
Right, so. Okay.
That depends on what you think Web 2.0
John,
is.
You didn't answer whether it's hype or shite,
but
by the way.
The other one, for developers, I think that it's a bit shite.
Right.
Because although
thanks for that contribution, Matt.
although he...
John O points at Ack.
Thank you. Although he is a wizard when it comes to DOM script and all that shit.
Has he got a pointy hat?
A wizard sleeve.
If it's on my pointy hat.
I've got to close the curtains.
He's... thanks. Although he's an expert, I think that it seems like you've got all of these little bits of technology that you've got to tie together in a fairly... It's not entirely clear how you tie all these bits and pieces together. It doesn't seem intuitive to develop with.
You mean Web 2.0 rather than Ajax?
Ajax.
Well, isn't that... I mean, Ajax is just XML or HTTP request, whatever it's called. Isn't it?
Asynchronous JavaScript and XML.
Yeah, but, I mean, basically, that's when things like the protocol library come in. Things like Ruby on Rails, if you're interested.
Protocol library.
Prototype library, sorry.
Oh, prototype, yeah.
Prototype, yeah, which is a JavaScript library for doing Ajax stuff. And it just gives you some simple calls to do all the shit. So,
Matt, how do you know all this, man?
Because I was reading some Ruby on Rails books over the summer break.
Oh, right, okay.
The question,
Matt. Hype or shite at the moment? What do you think?
Ajax or Web 2.0?
Web 2.0.
Web 2.0, I think, is just a muddy pool.
I thought you were going to say marketing term then.
No, it's
pooly.
It's a muddy pool of of nonsense that nobody really knows what it means.
Yeah.
And I think, much like a segment that we were talking about earlier, it's just a label looking for a concept behind it.
I know
we've got a treat of a segment coming up for you one day, guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Brilliant title.
So you've explained to us what it is then, Ak.
Well, has he? I suppose to the best of his ability, based on the reality of the situation, that we don't know what it is.
You sound like a policeman, then. He was proceeding northerly down the road.
Could you extract your chodger,
before we go on to the man who does this for a living?
Uh-huh.
What, let's talk about some great examples of this. I mean, there's obviously
Web 2.0. There's obviously, what is what we can't
there's,
mail. I mean,
there's obviously Frapper, right? Then you've
Gmail.
Got Gmail and
there's Flock. I mean, Flock is like a plugin for Firefox.
No, it's not. It's a fork of Firefox, basically.
Okay, okay.
Which gets a load of plugin type things and. Basically, Flock
allows together a lot of things, doesn't it? In my understanding.
Yeah, but it's like there's an episode of The Simpsons where a load of movie people come to town,
okay.
And they say, and the kids go up to one of the movie producers and say, "Sir, how do you make a horse on a film if you use a horse to look like a cow?" And they say, "We just tie a bunch of cats together." And to me, that's what Flock's like. It's just like a load of cats tied together.
What the fuck are you talking about?
What I'm trying to say.
What the hell was that burbling pile of shite?
Straight over my head.
Right. Okay, Matt's description, shite.
Not hype.
Both hype and shite.
What I'm trying to say.
It's hyper shite. Hyper shite. 1.0.
What I'm trying to say is that Flock, in particular, seems to be exemplary of the whole Web 2.0 thing, because it's just a lot of disparate things thrown together and then given a fancy title and some spit and polish.
That is Web 2.0, isn't it?
And that's Ajax. And what's the point of it? No, Ajax isn't.
That is! Ajax!
No,
Ajax
is useful
stuff.
Stop
biting your tongue and tell us.
Thrown together.
Ajax is a load of different things pulled together.
For a good reason, though. Whereas, whether it's
feel
a,
the anger.
Whether
first
it's a good reason
three,
or not, it's got nothing to do with. You said that Web 2.0 is basically a load of things pulled together.
Disparate things that shouldn't necessarily.
Such as?
Right, Flickr. Why do I need Flickr built into my browser? Why do I need to be able to log into my bloody LiveJournal?
I'd say that
a
lot of people who use a web browser will use Flickr.
Yes, but that's not the point. The point is that if you stick it into a web browser, why should there be a load of hype about it?
Not only.
That's angry.
Not
only are they off and running, they are reenacting the argument the web community has had for the last 12 months.
Live on
Lug
Radio.
Good idea. Here it is. I'm hearing all the same arguments over again that have been acting out on people's
Come on
blogs
then,
all
hype
over the fucking
shite.
Web community. I want to point out that I think it's neither hype nor shite because I actually
it. Hang on a minute. Matt, come up with a combination of those two words.
No, you see.
Height. There you go.
No, you see, it's not hype. Because I think it's sensible. It's not shite, because I think it's quite good.
It's good.
Web 2.0 I don't like, because it doesn't mean anything. People have basically invented.
Do you think it's too generic?
Ajax means something. I mean,
right. Ajax is good.
It's a bit of a buzzword for the concept, and you didn't necessarily need a buzzword, but it gave everyone a quick handle on what it means.
You need a word.
Web 2.0 doesn't mean anything.
That's
it's
what
just,
I'm saying.
It's just an invented marketing buzzword. You can't say, "I'm using Web 2.0 stuff," because that doesn't mean anything. You just say, "I am Web 2.0 in order to sound cool." Yeah. It's a word that doesn't mean anything other than, "I know lots of buzzwords." It's not talking about enterprise.
I was just about to say, such as the word enterprise.
Which doesn't mean anything. You say, are you using enterprise software, and you go, well, I don't know, because that's a meaningless term.
I tell you
and
what.
Web 2.0 is very much the same.
Web 2.0 seems to be all based around social networks and tags as well. Have you noticed how every single startup website that comes out now is all based around tags? You can't get away from bloody tags.
Give us an example.
Right, so Delicious, for example.
Yeah, Technorati.
Delicious, Technorati, Flickr, all these things. You have to give something a tag, otherwise
is
that it's not meaningless.
And why is that wrong?
I'm not saying it's wrong.
No, I agree with you. Why is that wrong? Because it's fucking metadata. I hate the fact that you've got to go and add all these fucking tags to this.
And does it make it more worthwhile?
It's a pain in the ass, because the problem is that the tags are not fine-grained enough. And
exactly.
Because people tag things in different ways.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that Web 2.0 it's a fairly meaningless and generic term. But I think it's one of those things where a lot of people think, where people basically think about it.
One word.
And they can kind of get an idea of what it's all about.
Hypershite.
It's
one word.
I want to do my sum up, so then we can all go around. I think that Ajax is brilliant. I think it's great.
Okay.
To me, Web 2.0, though, just seems to be saccharine sweet in that on first appearance, when it first touches your tongue, it seems like there's something there. But actually, there isn't anything there once you delve beyond
the surface. Like a Malteser. Matt, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
With the exception of Flock, or whatever the fuck it's called, what other examples of Web 2.0 jump to your mind? Because it seems to me that we're basing a lot of these opinions around a fairly small set of examples.
Web 2.0 hasn't really pushed itself to us.
Which is part of the problem. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but is that a good representation of what Web 2.0 plans to be? Or
for a start,
where it's going, or?
I don't want to, despite what I said earlier, I don't want to slag off Flock too much.
Backpedal.
No, fuck off. I don't want to slag off Flock too much, but from what I've read of it, it seems to be meaningless guff.
Okay.
Let's not slag it off then.
No. From what I've read, but I'll give it a go one day when they release the stable version. Right? But Web 2.0, no, I can't give you very many examples of it, except because it seems to be such a moving thing. There is nothing to grab onto. It's just like gaseous
quiet
cloud
you.
There, do you know what I mean?
Okay, Ack, sum up. Oh, hang on, Matt. Hype or shite?
What Web 2.0 has to be hype,
okay.
I think.
Ack, quick sum up.
Web 2.0, the word, is hype. Unadulterated, absolute, total hype.
Technologies underneath?
All the technologies underneath are great, and I think that they will be version 2.0 of the web in some way. But
give me a time frame.
But it's two, 3 years.
Right, okay.
Can I just clarify, what are these technologies?
It's too early to start talking about Web 2.0. Because the easiest way to do it is just chuck all these technologies out there, let people put them together how they like, and then rebrand it all as Web 2.0 3 years later.
2.0 Alpha.
No, well, more 1.9 release candidate 3.
Thank you.
What is Web...
You've had your sum up.
No, but we still don't know what Web 2.0 is. You're talking about technology.
Well, nobody does know.
But I think...
But it seems that Web 2.0 is the...
That's exactly the point, that you don't know what it is because it's a buzzword that's been invented... now, for something that doesn't really exist
yet. But it seems that people basically use it to describe, it's using technologies such as Ajax to basically hang together to create a user experience which is going to be more dynamic and not typically restrained by the kind of client-server way of working at the moment.
But
there's nothing wrong with that.
No, that's brilliant, but everybody else has got a different view of what it is.
You've got a lot of people who will consider microformats to be part of Web 2.0 and will consider folksonomies, your tagging thing, to be part of Web 2.0.
Okay.
And some people think it's just basically Ajax.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So...
what do you think, Aid?
I think at the moment it probably is inevitably hype. I think it needs to define itself a lot more so we actually understand, when we hear the word Web 2.0, what actually are the technologies underneath, because even we can't understand it at the moment and we're quite geekish. I don't think it's shite. I think it's hype-ish with a lot of potential. I think it is what the web's going to be, as Ack says. A sensible time frame probably is 2 to 3 years.
So it's shite, basically.
Isn't that?
It's
more hype than shite.
Yeah. That's just shite.
It isn't.
I tell you what, let's get someone on from Flock maybe or something like that
excellent.
And have a chat to him.
Bart Decrum.
Bart Decrum. Oh, no, it's a joke.
Oh, okay. Cool, excellent.
Earlier this year, the BBC changed their weather maps. Ooh, how exciting. To be 3D and kind of all cool and real-time rendered, apparently.
You're talking
and
about the sick map?
When you say real-time...
It looks like a massive pile of
vomit. Oh, yeah,
it's
brown.
The UK.
When you say real-time, how do you mean?
Well, apparently, most weather map systems have to spend hours and hours rendering that day's weather.
Okay.
Whereas this just does it in real-time based on real-time data. So anyway, we found out that the BBC actually do all their rendering on Linux for this new system.
That's all we want.
So we thought we'd have a chat with Peter Hollingsworth, who is the UK, well, European bloke for Metra, the New Zealand-based company who actually produced this 3D weather map system for Linux.
Let's go.
Hello, Peter Hollingsworth here.
Hi, Peter. It's Matthew from Lug Radio. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Matthew.
Oh, good. We've got Jono, Stuart and Aid with us here as well.
Right.
We're all gathered around microphones. So,
naked.
Peter, you work for Metra, the New Zealandish company.
Did
you say New Zealandish, then?
I did say New Zealandish, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The company, I understand, who provide the 3D real-time weather maps for the BBC.
the interesting thing, as I understand it, is that it runs on Linux amongst other operating systems. Can you tell us what the business reason for choosing to make it run on Linux was?
Well, it's kind of interesting you should ask that. I asked that question of our technical supervisor just a couple of days ago. And to be brutally honest, for the first release of WebEscape X2, which is the software program, it was the only platform we could reliably get SDI output for.
Which output, sorry?
SDI.
What's that?
That's a TV standard output. So you can deliver to video output to TV channels.
That's surprising.
But the fundamental reason, I guess, was because, you know, Linux was recognised really as a stable platform for 24/7 playout at TV stations. You know, it was reliable. You knew it wouldn't crash. Whereas some of the other platforms at the time, you know, perhaps didn't have that stability that was needed.
Yeah. Okay. Now, where would you see your system, WebEscape XT, sorry. Where would you see that actually deployed, apart from the BBC? Because we've got listeners all around the world, you see.
Oh, it can be deployed to absolutely any TV station, and you know, we're not exclusively sort of highbrow. I mean, obviously the BBC is a very, very big brand.
And so did News Bunny have it?
Yeah, exactly. It's something we use, you know, because it's probably the biggest global TV station, but any TV station in the world, really, that wants to broadcast weather can use our software.
Fantastic.
Right.
A bit more of a technical question. What kind of tools did you use to create this system?
What kind of tools?
Yeah, open source tools.
I mean, basically the system is a Unix box system. I mean, it's basically in a PC system. Yeah. It operates. We could even do it through a Mac if necessary.
Right.
Yeah. The software is written in C++.
Proper language.
I understand it.
Right. never mind.
Yeah. It's yes, you may well say that. And but it's a fairly it was written from scratch because we recognised we were using old O2 machines, and they really were getting a bit old and not supported anymore. And we needed something that was a bit more modern.
So obviously the interest from a lot of our listeners is from that whole open source perspective. If you were to make a pie chart, what sort of percentage of the pie chart would represent the open source side of things, and which bit was created with real custom or proprietary bits and pieces?
I think it depends on where you look at it. If you look at from where we started, when we started doing it, then very much the pie chart would have been greater than 50% open source. I think as we've moved on and have created sort of newer versions of the software, then that percentage is coming back to probably around the 50% mark or less than 50% mark, purely because of standardisation of software.
Right.
Right. As I understand it, the guys down under are fairly progressive when it comes to particularly New Zealand, when it comes to feeding back software into open source projects from government projects. And obviously Metro is, I don't know if it's been privatised now, but it certainly started out as the New Zealand equivalent of the Met Office here.
Yep.
Is it likely then that Metro would maybe think about opening up some of the code for the WeatherScape system so that community people could come on board and maybe contribute towards it and perhaps do interesting things in the way that you can with Google Maps now?
Now, that's a very, very interesting question, and I have to say it's one that hasn't been posed before.
Ah.
And there would obviously be a lot of reluctance to actually put the whole system onto an open source platform or into open source areas where people can access it. I think there may be some validity in you asking that question to consider, would we put parts of it there for people to play with and actually and progress it and move it forward. To be honest, nobody's ever asked that question before, and that's a very interesting question and something that
I'm sure they will
certainly take to our management and consider.
Excellent.
Excellent. That's great. Another sort of technical-ish question. You said originally you chose Linux as a deployment platform because it had the SDI output, or...?
I know I'm on a radio station, and perhaps I shouldn't have said that. It was because it was the only reliable platform that we knew we could get reliability for SDI.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But in the longer term, it was, but in the main, it was because it was just a recognised stable platform for TV stations to use. Hmm. One of the things that we have to be very, very careful of is when we deploy these things at TV stations is that they work.
We're not necessarily
going to be there. I mean, in some cases we are, but in a lot of cases we're not. We're just, you know, we're putting the software into the TV station, and the TV station have to go to air live, like, you know, we're going to air live now. It's vitally important that it all works.
Right. To enlarge on it slightly, do you think, did you find that Linux was actually a better platform to develop on, or do you think it wouldn't have made a difference whether you developed it on Linux or Windows or the Mac?
I think it was better in so much that it gave us the confidence to actually do what we were going to do, because when we first started off with this, we wanted to do something that was completely unique, that was totally new, and was doing something that nobody else had done before. And I think by actually doing it on an open source platform, you know, like Linux, gave us the confidence that we could actually just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
I think if we'd been working in Windows or OS X or any of the other platforms, there would have been that kind of mental restriction.
Yeah.
And I think using open source platforms just gives you that mental freedom.
Yeah, it really does. One of the questions that a couple of us in the studio have got, actually, that we've always wanted to ask somebody who's in weather, is what exactly is a squally shower?
Oh, dear. Right. Well, a squall. The first thing we should do is actually describe what a squall is. A squall is a line of showers.
Oh, okay.
And it is basically a line of cumulus nimbus clouds that are passing over an area. So a squally shower is just a shower that comes from that particular environment where there's a line of showers. So it's not that you're going to get the odd shower here and there. You are actually going to get a number of showers over a period of time.
Right. Okay. And finally, when we mentioned to our listeners that we would have you on, some of them from Scotland said, "Why do you hate Scotland so much?"
We're holding you to account.
We actually changed the map on the system as soon as we realised that it was actually making Scotland look a little bit small.
Right.
And that's now actually a lot. It's a lot larger than it was. Yeah. We certainly don't hate Scotland or any country for that matter. It's just the fact that we actually live on a curved spherical planet.
Right. Yes. Yeah. that is both a pleasure and a pain. All right. Well, thank you very much, Peter. It's been fascinating.
Thank you very much.
We look forward to maybe talking to you another time.
Yeah. Keep up the good work.
Really good. I'd
cheers.
Then.
Bye now.
Bye.
Cheers. Take care. Bye bye.
There's this thing I've been wondering about.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Shut up. if you went for a
job... Jono, you're wearing a paisley tie, man.
What?
Nice paisley tie.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a fucking tie.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Oh, okay. A kipper tie. Actually, that'd be lovely, thanks.
Isn't that Midlands for saying, do you want a cup of tea?
Yeah, that's what I said, that'd be lovely, thanks.
Ah.
Do you want a kipper tie?
Oh, sorry, Ak, you were wondering about something, weren't you?
Yeah.
We were wondering.
When you've quite finished.
This is a great segment so far.
Go on, then. 5 years ago, if you applied for a job, then basically the people interviewing you for the job had to take your word for everything that was said about you. You might take up references or whatever. Now they can just Google for you and find stuff that you've written.
If you work in IT, definitely.
If you work in our kind of field, and you work in the field of everyone who listens to this
show. Or you're
a
self-harming teen.
Oh, yeah. Or you're a teen who harms themselves and therefore has a live
reference?
Journal.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Fucking live journal.
Or MySpace.
The point is that if you got some bad customer service off of a company and then slagged them off on your weblog, and then 5 years later completely forgot about that and went for a job with them,
uh-huh.
they could Google for you find that you'd written that, and then not give you the job.
And here's what you could do. Before you went for the interview, you could delete it, and then it stays in Google Cache, but you leave it long enough so it's gone, and then it's on fucking archive.org! Yes. There's no escape!
Well, this is...
And so who gave you permission for this, man?
This right, ignoring that for the moment. The point is that we're going to have to adjust to a world where you write something and it doesn't go away. You know, writing isn't ephemeral anymore. It lives forever on the internet. It's like the world's got a memory.
Woo, man.
If you look...
The world's got a fucking memory, man.
I'm next.
I'm going to pass it round, okay, man.
My turn.
Oh, have a puff on the ball.
I've got a blimp burn on the jeans.
Shut up.
Oh, my God.
Shut up.
It's some good shit, man. The world's got a memory.
I don't take drugs.
So if you...
Not could, that we were taking drugs.
So if you could tell... condoning it. Taking the piss for one tiny
You make a valid
second.
Point, to be quite honest.
How do you think it's going to affect the way we do things? Should we be thinking more now about what we write because it's going to get looked up later, or is it going to change how we interact with the world to know that if you start going out with someone, you'll be able to know everything they've written for
it's
the last
just,
10
it's
years.
A fucking fact of life, though, isn't it? I mean,
but it's different to how it was before.
It was different how it was 10 years ago, I admit.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's, everybody's so used to it. I think people were thinking about this sort of thing about sort of 5 or 6 years ago when it was, well, before then, maybe 10 years ago when the web was starting to kick off. But nowadays, yeah, people, but then again, do you think that many employers actually look
at
Google?
I don't think they do at the moment.
I've got an
but
interesting
I think they
story
will,
about
and
this.
That's the point.
Other than conjecture,
you'll let me in.
Sorry. Sorry, man of power.
Okay, as you know, recently I quit my job.
Yeah.
Right, yes.
Now, the about 2 months previous to that, the IT director quit.
Mm. Is
anyway,
he a bastard?
Anyway, so I quit my job.
Is he a bastard?
No, he isn't. So I quit my job.
I don't believe you.
As you know, I've just started a new job.
Yeah, you
well,
have.
Funnily enough, the ex-IT director called me tonight, and he said, I hear you've left my last employers. Mm. And he said, would you be interested in coming to work for my company?
Oh.
And I said, well, I've just accepted an offer I've just accepted this new offer in Birmingham. He goes, yes, I know. I read it on your website.
Oh.
And I was like, what?
I
was unaware that the IT director was reading my website.
Yeah, well,
and I have to say,
did he do a Google?
It's really worrying.
Did he do a Google search for Abe Bradshaw and McDonald's?
I don't know.
I found out that people where I work read my blog.
It's an invasion. It's horrible.
No, but listen, it was at our Christmas party.
It's like your mum finding you whacking off or something.
I suppose it to extent.
How is it an invasion? You put on a freaking
you
internet.
Put an internet. If you decide to masturbate in a webcam, then it's your own fault.
If people look.
No, it just felt a bit weird. I wouldn't expect the IT director to actually be surfing the internet, but obviously.
It does. I mean, people at my work read my
yeah,
website.
It's interesting.
And it is a bit weird. It'd be like having to find your mum read it or something.
Mm, exactly
but
that.
I don't know whether we should be altering the way we do things or whether it's going to alter the way other people look at us because, you know, you can find out a lot more about someone than you ever could before.
I don't think it's a problem to have something that maybe makes you think before someone posts a blog.
Yeah, I
agree,
Matt. Yeah.
Am I going to regret this in 2 years? Yeah. Because it's so easy to think, I'll publish and be damned.
Yes.
But then when you're not drunk,
I think that's not a bad thing.
The interesting point is that you post things and you think, you know, I'm going to post, for example, I might post something about Banger, you know, shitting on the floor and think, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Because at the moment, I'm fairly free and easy when it comes to blog entries. But 5 years down the line...
But when he's a teenager and with his mates, he's going to get
embarrassed. He's
going to
be embarrassed, isn't he? But when, you know, 5 or 6 years down the line when I'm, you know, owner of Virgin...
owner of Virgins, yeah.
Well, yeah, that as well.
72.
No, but I can see your point in the fact that you might regret it and there's no way to erase it. There's not just a case of taking
exactly,
your own website.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think we should talk about the fact of Google Cache and other search engine caches and archive.org didn't ask my fucking permission to archive that shit. And yes,
well, you just said you put it on the internet, so, you know.
Yes, but
come on.
But surely if I put it on
you
the internet.
You maintain control,
surely if I put it on the internet, I have the right to delete it from my website
which
as well.
You have the right to delete it from archive.org.
Yeah, but you're intelligent enough to know that once it's on the internet, it's out there and it ain't going to change.
I agree, but the point I'm making is that if we're talking about the rights and thinking about how all this kind of stuff fits together.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of archive.org, you've got to go and ask them permission.
No, you see, but
you've got to specify that you don't want your site spiders.
This is where you're a dick.
Robots, right?
Or you could just use robots.txt. Yeah. Yeah,
you're a dick because because 2 minutes ago you said, "Oh, well, you see, people need to adapt to the new way of things," but you don't want to adapt to the new way of things. You want to freeze the old way.
No.
Not let you know. You.
I can't believe you're saying this.
The world is changing.
No.
I think it's a good thing. I think Matt's wrong about the whole publish and be damned thing.
No, because
I don't want to live in a world where absolutely everything I say needs to go through the internal lawyer before I say.
Hang on a second, let me defend my point.
Not what I was saying.
No, the man had a good point. You should think twice about what you say.
Why?
Because there are many times that I've sat down at a PC from my FidoNet days until now.
FidoNet is quality.
I'm going to write something really, you know, something very explosive and just vent. And then I thought, Jesus, I'd be really embarrassed in about half an hour, let alone 2 years' time.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that at all. If you're the sort of person who says, no compromise, ever, then that's fine. But for most people, I imagine that it's good to have some kind of internal catch on the door that just stops you going that bit too far without having to think before you take it off.
But you wouldn't necessarily explode like that in front of people. And therefore, I don't see why anyone ever thought that writing things on the web was different to talking to a bloke in a pub.
It is, though.
But it is, why? Because when you talk to a bloke in the pub, he might just be a bloke in the pub that you're never going to see again, and you might let on that once he did kill that man, and it won't really matter because he's so drunk. But if you did that on a website, it does bloody matter.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, you choose to talk to that specific bloke, whereas you don't choose which people visit your website.
Yeah, but do you then go and find that bloke and threaten him if if he says he's going to tell other people?
The thing is, you said I was
There's
wrong.
There's no proof. It's hearsay.
Let me defend the point you oppressed earlier on. Right? The thing is, I don't believe that, you know, we shouldn't have archive.org and that kind of stuff. I think that's perfectly fine. The point I'm making is that everybody bangs on about privacy so much, but takes all that shit for granted and don't have a problem with that. People bang on about, you are a fucking prime example.
Of saying,
oh, ID cards, they're bad because of privacy, and this is bad because of privacy, and this is bad because of privacy. Yet, everybody doesn't...
Everybody doesn't
really care about it. That's point one, right?
No, hang on. You can't just come with an untarnished, uninterrupted set of points.
Any polos?
That's point one. The other thing, which I think is interesting for us to talk about in a second, is, you see, one thing that pisses me off, particularly with IT, right, is you get a lot of
your
people...
Your veins are standing out.
There's no ladies.
You get a lot of people being quite different.
That's because they're not technically... Oh, no.
Shut up. You get a lot of people who put on this facade when they're talking to other people, you know. If you look at people, like when we go to the expo, and you look at people in the pub in the evening, and you look at them during the day, they're two different types of people. You know,
that's called beer goggles, isn't it?
People are in...
You're all really good looking, late at night.
Your beard.
People are in fucking full enterprise mode during the day. And then at night, they relax, and then they become much looser. Bad choice of words.
Anil nitrate is a cool name.
But the thing is, the point I'm making is that what's good about this whole fact that blog postings are fucking archived and everything is that it shows people for who they are.
Yes.
And that's one thing that I think... You see, one thing that pisses me off is when people say... I used to listen to Bon Jovi, but I'm really embarrassed that I listen to them now. And it's like, how can you be embarrassed of your own tastes?
You liked it then. You don't have to like it now, but...
So what's...
That's one type of person who is just a twat, basically.
I'd say that's a lot of people.
But well, it's not us, because we're cool.
A lot of that...
Is that a twat or a twat?
I used to listen to Lug Radio, but now I don't.
My point really was that it cuts through a lot of pretense. Oh. And people are going to have to learn to be comfortable with the idea that everyone will see them for who they are.
I think it's a really exciting... really interesting concept. Be careful what you write. It's going to come back and bite you.
Yeah, man.
Shut up, you.
Hello.
Hello, John. It's Lug Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Eck.
How are you doing?
Whippets. I'm all right. Let me just put my whippet away.
Brilliant. Right. Well, first of all, explain yourself and explain what you do, because we're going to change it around this week and not say who you are.
Oh, okay. Well, for a moment there, I got mixed up and I thought this was going to be actually live, broadcast live.
No.
So I've realised
it's nearly live.
Moving away from my laptop in case I get some kind of feedback. I don't know what kind of contrived series of events would allow feedback over something that's recorded now and broadcast in 7 days time or whatever.
That would be some weird feedback.
Time and that, never mind.
That's odd feedback.
My name's John Leach and I make a comic strip called Everybody Loves Eric Raymond.
Yeah!
Starring Eric Raymond and Richard Stallman and Linus Torvalds primarily. Oh, and the ghost of Bruce Perrins.
It's just, right, to be honest, it's fucking hilarious, right?
Oh, absolutely. Cool.
It is really funny. And actors. Where did you get the idea to say, I mean, obviously, I'm assuming it's got something to do with Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
But where did you get the idea of the four of them living in a flat and everything?
Well, to be honest, I mean, I've never even seen Everybody Loves Raymond. I haven't, I just knew the name.
It's a quality show.
It's shit. Off the internet, and it's terrible. It's just got all this canned laughter, and it's just awful. It's just not funny.
You speak shit.
First of all,
it's brilliant.
I decided to not do anything like that. Just nick the name.
I mean,
I've been doing like satire on the internet for a while with a bunch of friends. We started off doing geeky stuff on a website called Geekware, like many, many, many years ago.
Right.
And
okay.
I kind of crept into political stuff now in the form of New World Order.
Cool.
yeah, but it's just political stuff, really, not too geeky, I guess. And I thought I'd like to go back and do some geeky stuff, so I always had my eye out for some kind of idea. And then I think I came across Eric Raymond's blog, which I didn't know he had.
Oh, dear.
For itself, I thought I could just... I don't even need to change the script. I could just copy
totally.
From his blog.
Probably no, Creative Commons,
I'm taking it you didn't bother consulting them before you did this.
No, I gathered that wouldn't help, my course.
Have you had any feedback from any of them?
Yeah, I did. I actually emailed them, so they didn't just find it. But I emailed Richard Stallman and Eric Raymond and Linus. Linus hasn't got back to me. He's obviously above all this.
What did Eric Raymond say?
Said, what was it? He thought it was funny, but I've got it here. Hang on a second. It is funny, but I'm disappointed that it accentuates the shallow.
Did he call you a communist?
No, he didn't. All I said was, with enough eyeballs, all jokes are shallow. It's true, really, isn't it? And Eric said, very bizarre, I can't imagine how you get enough yucks out of the premise to sustain an entire strip.
Which really, presumably is Eric Raymond code for I didn't get any of the jokes.
I assume Eric Raymond just hadn't actually read his own blog.
I mean, he's armed and dangerous. I mean, are you worried about him turning up on your front doorstep?
You know what? I mean, he does some martial arts or something, and he is big on gun stuff. But you know what? I think
he's
relatively rational. He's obviously big on gun safety, and he's on about gun... He uses all the gun stuff as, like, you know, self-defense and things. I don't think he'd come and attack me. I'm sure he doesn't find it that much fun, but I'm sure he...
You live in Leeds, though, and he lives in Hicksville, Tennessee, or something, doesn't he?
I don't have too many plans to visit America, so I'm all right. But he might come here, I guess.
I was just wondering if any geek ladies have been throwing themselves at you going, oh, hello, I love your comic strip. Can I have some sex, please?
Yes, but as with most advances from the internet, they're probably just from bald, fat men.
Don't look at me!
The bald man.
Was that you?
No, I'm bald and thin, thank you very much.
My chin.
So, just coming down to the comic strip itself, I mean, I'm hoping
Don't come onto it.
Yeah, I always do, yeah. I'm hoping that you use open source software to create the pictures.
I do.
Yeah,
it's all created with the GIMP.
Nice.
I download all the photos off using G-Thumb and things on Ubuntu.
Excellent.
So the only proprietary software is the firmware on my camera.
You bastard.
Now, just going back to the fact that Eric Raymond...
By the way, I would say that's as opposed to the fact that I know that you use Cubase to put this
down.
Kiss
my ass.
Wounded.
Any real Linux professional would be editing this show using DD.
DD? Maybe. Right, just to go back to the fact that Eric Raymond wants to cave your heading at some point.
Yeah.
Last season we had a segment called Open Source Street Fighting. So if it was you and him in a knife fight, which one would win?
Oh, yeah, he definitely would win. I mean, you've not read about him. He's been doing martial arts all his life. He's got like 10 different
guns. Rock?
Yeah,
but who are you? I mean, are you hard at all?
You sound northern.
You're a northern.
I don't know. I'm pretty handy, as you might say.
What about if he kicked
you
whip
it? I really think that he would kick my ass. I mean,
Ace just asked, what happens if he kicks you whip it? Would that infuse you into a Just a rabid attack.
I reckon my whippets could take him. I'd set my whippets on him.
Have you ever, have you thought about other people sort of starring some other people in the comic strip, or the open source celebrities are a bit crazy?
Are you after a cameo, Mr. Baker?
No, not no, just other people. There's tons of open source lunatics, so.
Like who?
It's names. I'm not saying names, no. Has anyone else you thought about sticking in there?
Yeah, well, I keep discovering new people and thinking, yeah. I always wish that they had a blog as entertaining as Eric's, because that would be useful. That's kind of the problem I end up making fun of Eric the most, because he just provides the most material. You know, he's got his website, and it's just an encyclopedia of hilarity. I think, like I said, I've just introduced the ghost of Bruce Perrins, and I expect to take that a bit further somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how. I'll figure that out. Who have we had recently? Oh, I recently went down to Linux World the other week, and I met Alan Cox and Matt Shuttleworth and took some photos of them, so I'm sure they'll have to go in it now.
Cause I've got to tell someone. That was a show that you lot never went to, by the way.
Because I've got their bodies now.
Only lunatics say that.
Yeah, I don't know if you're aware of that. I basically took photographs of all my friends kind of doing stupid comic book poses, whatever they are, and then just cut the heads out of all these geeky celebrities and kind of stick them on there.
Fantastic, man. Well, just before we go, one thing that made me laugh out so very loud was when you referred to Eric Raymond's blog as being written by some kind of mentally challenged pygmy child or something. It's fucking hilarious, and we all read it all the time.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, once it comes out.
So, yeah. Well, thanks very much for coming on the show. And let's hope we can have you back at some point in the future when you've ridiculed someone else and you can tell us all about it. So,
assuming I haven't been lynched by the, I'm sure, enormous gang of Eric Raymond supporters.
Yes.
We're ready for them.
Fuck them.
Get the whippets ready.
If an issue of it doesn't come out sort of for a few days, then we know what's happened. So,
okay.
Nice one. Take it easy, mate.
Great. Thanks.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.
Now, we've been talking about Web 2.0.
Indeed, Lee.
And
yep.
There's been lots of discussion in the community about the next generation GNOME and the next generation KDE and the next generation kernel and all this kind of stuff. And there's all of this kind of discussion about what things we could do, but there's not much discussion about what we actually need.
That's a really good idea.
Yes, what we should do. What we actually need to make our lives better and easier, right?
Yeah. Mm.
So...
what are we going to call this segment?
What are we going to call it?
What happened next?
What happened
next? Oh, I thought we were going to call it...
and then?
Oh, okay.
And then.
And then. Okay, fair enough. So, let's all think of something.
Oh, okay.
Does someone want to go first?
Yes, yeah, I'll go first. Go on, Edo.
What have you thought of? What are you going to
obviously,
think of?
It's going to be business-related, let's say.
I'm sure it's going to be...
if you had a large network full of Linux desktops, Linux on a desktop will happen at some point, I'm told.
At some point in the future.
Yeah. And you wanted to deploy some software to them. How would you do it at the moment? Basically, you'd script it.
Right.
That's no good. That's not an option.
So what do we need?
We need some kind of tool that allows you to select a load of computers in a nice little interface and say, deploy this piece of software to those computers, do it now.
Question.
Yeah.
Right. Is this... basically what Active Directory does.
Yes, Active Directory group policy.
So you basically want Active Directory on Linux?
Well, I want this specific part of it, but ideally we'd have the whole thing. But, I mean, obviously the whole thing is a massive thing to try and implement. So what we really need in... I mean, you've got directory services, there's Fedora Directory Services, which is taking care of the user account stuff. But it's not taking care of the software deployment side of things.
Isn't that the thing that you sent me an email about ages ago, and they were supposed to create something like Active Directory? There's some Fedora project.
Yes.
I thought they were supposed to do this whole thing that you're on about.
It's happening. It's actually happening. Yeah.
This thing of deploying software.
No, this isn't going to be in that. They're keeping the two things distinctly separate at the moment.
Right.
Because they are two separate functions.
So that thing will manage users?
Yes.
Bit like LDAP?
Well, it's based on... it's based on... well, I'm not going to say it's based on Open LDAP, because it's not based on Open LDAP. It's based on the other one that came
closed out. LDAP.
Yeah. No. It's based on the one from Netscape. But we're kind of moving a little bit off topic, but I don't mind. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, something that would give us a nice, easy, clean user interface to deploying software. Right. That's what I think we need.
Should it be able to deploy anything, or should it deploy RPMs?
If it's
RPMs... can it deploy bird flu?
Either. Well, it really depends on what platform it's developed for. If it's developed for a Debian platform, it's going to do Debs.
Well, yeah, no, that's the point. Because it doesn't sound...
what about auto packages?
It doesn't sound that difficult to do at all.
No, but it doesn't exist, so why not?
Okay.
Why don't you write it in Python, Aid?
I don't love the Python. I think it's fair to say.
Mr. Sequarius.
So obviously that's not really got you very excited, but no, I mean, think that, we need it.
I mean, it would certainly help the
if you want to get widespread adoption of Linux, if you do want that goal, then you need big tools.
There's going to be some people listening to this who are going to be screaming at the speakers saying, that's exactly what we need, because there's going to be I can imagine
there's going to be like one person somewhere.
One solitary voice.
I'll tell you what
else. The guy in Morocco is going, that's exactly what we need.
There's going to be also some guys screaming at their MP3 player going, it already exists and it's this.
Hopefully,
so, and about half of those guys will be saying something which is actually what you want.
Yeah.
And about half of them will be saying, look, it already exists. It's just this simple bash script.
Yes.
concoction of orc and sed commands.
Strung together.
And it relies on you having set up a private Debian mirror. And stuff like this again. Look, it's really easy. All you do is this fucking great big list of incomprehensible shite. You know, and then it works.
That fucking pisses me off when people say, it's not a problem. All you need to do is this. Like, I was talking to a guy.
Pipe this into sed and out of there into orc.
I was talking to a guy, right, on IRC about the Myth TV box.
Yeah.
And I was trying to tune in. I didn't have an S video lead.
Right.
And I was trying to tune in my Skybox into the Myth TV card.
Right.
With an RF, a normal kind of coax cable. And with that, you need to tune it in. And I said, okay, how do I do this? I'm assuming I can scan for the channel.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, no, you can't do that. I said, okay, no problem. And I said, how do I do it then? He said, oh, you've just got to tune the frequency in. And I said, okay, so how do I do that then? And he said, well, you've just got to go and do this, and you've got to connect this thing to that thing, and you've got to type this command, and you've got to enable this, and you've got to fix these things, and you've got to do this, and you've got to know about frequency names. And he said, I said, how the fuck do you do that? And he said, oh, just Google it.
The absolute worst thing about it is not even that people say you need this batch of sed and orc and shit commands and everything. It's when you say, perhaps we should have an easier thing, and they say, no, everyone should know.
Elitist thing.
Okay, we're kind of drifting.
Yeah,
I agree.
No,
we're kind of drifting off topic a little bit.
I think that's a very important point.
It is a very important point. You're quite right. Right, who wants to go next? What do we need?
I'll tell you what we need.
Go on.
I'll tell you what we fucking need.
Go for it, Bacon.
Right?
A great big 2-ton Myth TV box that accepts every plan.
We don't need it. Hang on, we've already got one of them. You already own that.
It's in my living room. It weighs a bloody ton.
Special reinforced floor underneath.
No, what we... Something... obviously, this is a desktop-related thing, right?
Okay.
And
we're all going to have our biases, let's face it.
We've got the GNOME and we've got the KDE desktop.
We're all going to have our biases.
Yeah,
bias.
is your bias flashable?
I'll be Phoenix.
I'll be Amy.
AmyBiosOrNot.com.
Oh, no.
It's really
it's brilliant. True, yeah.
And they've got pictures of BIOS chips, and you have to guess whether it's an AmiBIOS or not.
Oh, dear.
New levels
along,
of sadness.
Along the same lines of RateMyPoo.com.
Anyway, come on, Johnny. What are you saying?
Maybe that's that GNOME developer set that up. Anyway.
Right.
Quim. Yeah. No, not Quim. There's a guy with middle name is Poo. True.
That sounds like a good feature.
Yeah, it does sound like a good feature.
No, it doesn't.
That no
what
one
do we need
to do.
What do we need?
Right, so we've got the desktop, and at the moment, imagine like you're a typical kind of office user,
mm-hmm.
not a Microsoft Office user, just someone who uses computers at work.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to use a CRM, and you're going to use a web browser and an office suite, and you use email and all that kind of stuff, right? The problem is you've got all these different pieces, but the extent that they hook together is embedding one document inside another document, which not many people do, right? It's not particularly useful. So the thing that I think we need is integrating these things together more intelligently. I'll give you an example. I was thinking about this, okay?
Okay.
I use a CRM at work.
Right.
Right? And one of the problems with the CRM is that, for example, if somebody rings me up on my phone, which is an asterisk phone, wouldn't it be great if it pops up a little window and it says, this person is related to this particular project that you're working on.
Tappy.
So you've got the concept of a project, mm-hmm. okay? And then you've got this project, and somebody rings me up who's related to that project, and it pops up, their entry in the CRM. You know, if I want to go and talk to someone on game or something like that, one of the problems that you've got with that is that you've got for example, with myself, I've got Linux-related friends, and I've got metal-related friends. So
it's
got
like
family.
Taking desktop search and scaling
it. And scaling it all over the place. Because one of the problems that I found with game is that, for example, when I'm at work, I don't really want to talk to my mates about metal, because I'm in work mode.
Yeah.
Right? So
I'm sure work don't want you to either.
Exactly. So the thing is,
I'm not sure your metal mates understand instant messaging.
that's a fucking bit snobbish, don't you think?
Carry on.
So basically what happens, I just don't use game at work.
Okay.
Which is silly because it's really useful for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be ideal is that, imagine I have a little thing, a little applet, and I say, I'm working on this project right now. My entire desktop shifts to that project. So,
that would be cool.
My
actually.
Address book changes to all of the addresses relevant to that particular project.
And you appear online to all the people who are involved in that project only.
So only the people related to that project appear in my game thing.
Hmm.
Right?
Now, that sounds very much like some of the stuff that's planned for GNOME 3.0.
Well, their idea with GNOME, with the next version of GNOME,
Topaz.
If it ever happens, right, it's still in brainstorming phase, is to basically, it's a task-based desktop, but they don't seem to be talking about integrating something such as this.
The trouble with that, you'd have to have buy-in from every individual project, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd have to have a framework which would...
Yeah. But the thing is...
Calm down.
But the thing is, though, it was
trigger
just...
word there.
It was not...
Red mist descends.
Bloody framework! Sorry.
The thing is, though, is it's not only good... This would not only make the desktop easier to use, because there's
it'd
less...
make the users more productive
there.
As
yeah,
well.
There's less stuff there to trip up and click on and fuck up and all the rest of it. It makes users more productive because there's less distractions there.
Yeah.
And it makes the desktop feel more integrated because the fact that we've got lots of different applications that don't really fit together.
That sounds
and
awesome.
It puts it about 10 times ahead of Windows or Mac OS X.
Yeah. And the thing is, right, it all needs to happen, particularly in an office setting, it all basically needs to revolve around CRM because that's predominantly where people will store a lot of data related to their customers. And there's a project called Enterprise Groupware Server, the most buzzword-compliant name for projects you could possibly imagine.
Enterprise Groupware Server 1.0. It should be called Web 2.0 Enterprise Groupware Strategy Server.
And EGS,
Enterprise Groupware Server,
yeah, right? This is a GPL'd CRM, and it's really, really good. But the other CRMs are kind of not... Well, they're free, but they've got loads of caveats and everything.
Okay.
Right?
Oh,
this
really?
This thing is developed by a company in Coventry. And I was talking to them about this, and they're really keen on this sort of thing. But, of course, it needs buy-in from GNOME and KDE and all the rest of it.
Right.
So it could theoretically happen.
Wicked.
But that's what we need. The world an easier
metaphor.
That
is awesome.
I think that sounds brilliant. And, I mean, some of that, I mean, for example, the stuff like you mentioned where it comes up on your screen who's calling you and that you automatically get their contact details and start drawing in their project. To me, that sounds... reasonably trivial.
Some of it,
that sort of thing is already possible
in
the Microsoft
world
already with
done
Tappy.
In Outlook and
you see,
Windows.
Yeah, Tappy stuff. Like.
You see, the thing is that this is where open source can make a real win because for it to happen in the Windows world properly, you need buy-in from Microsoft to do it because they need to buy into it to integrate into Windows properly.
Yeah.
Whereas because this is open source and everybody can hack on the code and all the rest of it, there's no reason why somebody couldn't basically apply a load of little patches to GNOME that does this sort of thing.
Super.
Right.
Okay.
And
Dbus
can be used for it.
Excellent. Cool.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Which of you two is going next?
What do you want to do?
Who's going to go first?
No, I'll go next.
No.
Because my thing's kind of similar, so they fit together. I think...
Is that what you said to your wife?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Mental image.
Thank you. The thing I think Linux needs is to be different.
Huh?
Windows and the Mac OS.
I think it already is.
No, it's not. It's bloody not.
Are we talking different for different sake?
We are almost, yeah. Because I genuinely do not believe that there's enough of an incentive for people to switch. I mean, you can say, look, give it to my dad and he can use it pretty much fine.
Yeah.
Which, first of all, illustrates the point that it's basically the same.
Okay, but
And secondly,
if you make people learn a new interface, they will not learn it.
Yeah. Wrong.
Right.
Wrong. Everyone learned Windows 95's interface. Everybody learned Windows 95's
interface.
That was
before everybody was using computers.
To be fair, though, that's not a really fair analogy because everybody had to learn the Windows 95 interface.
And the Windows
2000
is
their first computer.
There's been very few examples of a complete usability shift that's been successful of that kind of scale.
I don't agree with you at all.
Which is why Windows...
Examples.
I think the whole point here is that as soon as there is... a revolution in how something works and you get it right, everybody does shift to it.
No.
It is. As soon as there's a revolution, for fuck's sake. There's not that many revolutions in IT, is there?
Depends on your point of view. IT's been around, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
So there hasn't been that much time. As soon as someone invented a graphical interface, loads of people moved.
As soon as the interface
been around longer than 30 years.
Given the last 10 or 15 years.
What I think people need to do, this is why I think Project Topaz is a great idea. Not necessarily because I think that the usability thing is what will buy it. I think we need to not be afraid to strike out a different direction and actually commit to it. Rather than having one guy putting together a SourceForge project and go, look, here is a revolutionary new thing and not getting any buy-in.
Or something,
look at SymphonyOS. I don't necessarily think it's the right way, but I want to see people actually committing to this and saying, yes, we believe this is better.
It's going to make crossover too difficult. And if the interface is too different, people aren't going to move.
I don't agree with you.
Unless it's absolutely amazing.
The iPod.
Okay.
The iPod made everyone go out and buy MP3 players. Now, there were loads of MP3 players for no one fucking owned
them. That's not the same because not everybody used an MP3 player at the time. Whereas almost everybody in the Western world uses a computer at some point.
You can't compare a hardware device with 6 controls to a complete graphical operating system.
Bullshit.
You can't.
If I take your keyboard away and gave you 6 controls for a computer and you could use a computer with that.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't that be a problem?
The whole point here is that
everyone's doing exactly what you're doing. They go, if we change too much, no one will use it, and then they piss on the idea before anyone tries it.
What I'm talking about is
SymphonyOS tried it.
SymphonyOS isn't that different. It's a bit different.
So what do you want? Seriously, what sort of things do you want?
The problem is that I don't know what I want. because if I knew how to revolutionise the thing, I'd be frigging doing it, not talking about it.
He wants MovieOS where you have like those gloves with wires on and you just navigate.
I just don't see the point in change for the sake of change. If it makes it better, then let's do it.
Change has to be gradual.
An evolution, exactly. Because you find out what works and then you do it.
The thing is that what you're talking about is this complete change. I don't believe it can happen on a mass scale unless there's something sufficiently interesting for people to move over to on a mass scale. And the problem with that is that I don't believe there's necessarily a massive idea out there that will change the majority of the computer using civilization over to it.
And that's exactly what Lord Kelvin thought.
The problem,
at the end of the 19th century, they said, well, we should pack up shop in physics because there's nothing left to be discovered.
I'm not saying there's nothing left to be discovered.
I'm bloody sure Doug Engelbart, the day before he invented the graphical user interface, thought, well, you know, I mean, maybe we could make batch stuff a little bit faster. And then on his way to work the following day, in the car, he invented everything that computers are now.
But again, you're making comparisons and analogies that aren't comparable.
Why?
The situation of back then was not comparable today. Because at the end of the day, today, 90% of the fucking desktop industry is driven by Microsoft.
Okay, controversial.
If you don't persuade them, then you can basically kiss goodbye to a lot of it.
So what you're doing is you're condemning us to chasing what Microsoft's doing until the end of time.
No, what I'm...
And I really don't think we're going to win.
No, what I'm...
By saying, well, everyone else is doing roughly this. Let's try and make it... Let's try and do what they're doing, but better.
No.
We're never going to get people to...
I have more respect for the idea that he has something concrete to say rather than just this whole kind of, oh, well, this, you know, happy, we should be doing something different. It doesn't...
This is exactly the point. The whole point is that Topaz seems really interesting, and the task-based desktop, and I'm all for that. But the problem is that it seems like there's an element of, we need to be different, and it's like fucking, what's it called?
Craig David with those earphones.
Thank you. You know, Plasma?
Yeah.
The KDE thing, right? I got the impression when I first read about that they're just trying to be different for the sake of being different, without any perceived benefits or perceived goals gains from doing that. The thing is that if you make it too different, then people will not be able to work about it and get something out of it. The thing I was talking about in terms of hooking things together can be implemented into the current desktop. The difference with what you're saying is you're basically saying we need a revolution for this to happen.
Yes.
Okay. And I think it's too idealistic that we can have a revolution unless there's something so groundbreaking And the iPod can't be compared to that because the iPod is a fucking device.
Okay, fair enough. It'll be interesting to see what other people
say. I can't wait
say
to see what
forums.
The people on the forums are going to think of this. Because it's
Math,
fascinating
Matthew,
stuff.
What's yours?
Well,
what
we my need? One is perhaps slightly less interesting, but okay. Basically decent business software. I think that we still
very important.
Got...
You're talking more than OpenOffice here.
Yeah. Basically, I think the problem we've got at the moment is still that there is a little bit of the developer is God attitude and not the user is... you know,
what specific? Do you mean like Sage
well,
or
I'll come on
like
to it
oh,
in
okay.
a sec. So I think a lot of the stuff we have is very much developed for very specific types of people, and they are generally hobbyists such as us, or they're developers themselves, mm-hmm. or in very small situations, normally not open source. I hasten to add, mm-hmm. they're for very very specialist applications like the weather maps thing that the BBC are doing,
yeah.
or the rendering farms that Pixar
yeah,
use,
sure,
all
yeah,
that sort
yeah.
of stuff. So anyway,
or the other class is kind of the generic corporate user.
I was going to say
who doesn't do much, so they need an email client and a word
yeah,
processor.
Yeah.
They don't do anything else. They're just sort of a generic corporate
like computer associates, yeah. and I
so,
do a lot of that stuff.
There are people out there who want software that maybe a hobbyist programmer doesn't want, and this is where I become maybe slightly controversial because I think this is maybe at first. Where you might need some paid-for software on Linux to sort of develop the momentum.
To fill in the boring gaps.
To fill
gaps.
In the gap, yeah. So, for example...
Did you say boring gaps?
Yeah. Well, it is.
It's software that's fundamentally uninteresting, so people aren't motivated to hack on it in some situations.
Boring to the developers.
On Windows, right? If I want proper account software that is going to give me management accounts for my business, so I know the worth of my business... That's going to give me something that I can return to my accountant who can then send
Which
it on to the
important.
Land Revenue.
Yeah.
That's important. Then I've got QuickBooks, I've got TazBooks, I've got Sage in all its different varieties.
What is it on Linux that is actually accepted by accountants? Is there nothing, I take it?
Well, nothing by UK accountants. There's something called SQL Ledger, which is basically, as far as can work out, and I have to admit I haven't looked into
you've
it
got
that
a
closely.
URL for that?
Well, sqlledger.com, something like that.
Right. Okay.
We'll fix it in the forums. Basically, it seems to be... a web application written in PHP that you have to have MySQL running, and it's okay if you're doing it in America because it's written for American situation.
Yeah, yeah.
What you need though is someone to sit down and work out all the boring UK tax rules mm-hmm. and put them to the system, which someone will only do if they get paid
to do it.
They
get paid, absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
And because it's a purely commercial bit of software, I don't see a problem with that.
No, there's no problem with it.
So, just sorry, a brief digression here. But the whole point of the cathedral and the bazaar was that someone somewhere would find that interesting.
Yeah.
But I'm not at all clear that that is the case.
No, it's not.
Absolutely. Completely
agree. That's where it breaks down, I think.
It's weird. It's very inconsistent. Sorry, again, digressing slightly. It's very inconsistent because the one example I tend to use when I give talks about the cathedral and the bazaar is there's a guy who maintains a library for paper sizes.
Yeah, which...
And that sounds really fucking uninteresting, but that just...
Yeah.
The guy digs it in the same way that someone who maintains, you know, the Pearl Regular Expression library.
Yeah, but the thing is, there will always be, for want of a better expression, there will always be freaks... I'm not saying that in a derogatory term at all, because it is a
diversion.
No, it isn't, because it's just a diversion from the norm. There will be diversions from the average of what goes on, you know, from the norm.
So there's lots of people working on cool software.
Happen not to have anyone who wants to
work
out all the tax rules into a bit of software.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if you're running a business, you need to know that for the next year, the year after that, you're going
to
have that software there, and it's going to be
at
stake.
Open Sage, that's what went on.
Yeah, and now the closest thing we've got apart from SQL Ledger is written actually over in Birmingham mm-hmm. by Clockwork Software, and it's called
Paytime.
Paytime.
Yeah.
The problem with Paytime is it's purely payroll software.
I think you mean the challenge, don't you?
Yeah, the issue.
The opportunity.
The opportunity.
The opportunity that is there is that Paytime is pure open source software.
Right.
That's good. Sorry, it's getting late.
Well, what's the bad?
The problem is that it's purely payroll software.
Right.
From what I understand, the rumours I've heard, Clockwork Software aren't that interested in opening up the community development of it and building a community around it.
Okay.
They're fine for people to look at the source code and to submit patches, but they're not so interested in developing a community around it.
It'd be good for us to get some word from Clock.
Yeah.
Quite
so
a small company, aren't they?
That.
So, I mean, to manage all the code coming back in and absorbing it
into
the tree.
No, that's fine, but the reason I mentioned that, is that it wouldn't be very easy to, within the Payton project, develop that into a more rounded account software. Now, the other problem that you've got, just quickly, is that with not having that kind of software available on Linux, is that then businesses who want to switch over to Linux always will have to have a Windows desktop.
And I've faced this problem because I've just started contracting.
Right.
And when you do that, you set up your own limited company and everything.
Yeah.
And you have to have, you have to do tax submissions and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically all you've got is Sage on a Windows platform.
Yes.
And I'm just thinking, there's got to be something.
It's amazing.
But there isn't.
Right.
There isn't.
I mean, okay. I'm sure that's
well, you just saved me about
us.
2 days worth of work there, so thanks.
But don't go with Sage. But the
I've gone
the
with an umbrella company in the end because I couldn't be bothered with it all.
Umbrella company? Does it rain a lot in your house?
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
The trouble with all this software is that if you've got QuickBooks sitting there, and say you're running a retail business, right? You want it to fix in with your stock system,
which is what
might
John
be Zencart, for example.
Right, okay.
So people aren't going to write a Zencart extension to plug into some obscure bit of Linux software that nobody uses. They're going to write it for Sage. You're going to write it for
sure. Yeah.
So to round it all up, we need more than just OpenOffice. OpenOffice isn't business software.
Well, it is, but it's not the be all and end.
It's not the bit. That's what I mean. It's not business software.
It's part of
period.
The suite that
you
need. No one
needs to say it's business software.
I think
it's commodity
it
software that can be used by a business. It's not specifically aimed at businesses.
An office product is literally, whereas it's business software.
But it's also homework software. It's also
sure.
Granny writing a letter to
but
her
no, you're
son.
Totally right.
You know.
I mean, I think the killer is that what we're short of is third-party developers on Linux.
Yeah.
Because they feel that they won't get a return for their money.
Yeah.
And it is a commercial
Or return for their investment if they're, you know, if they even people aren't prepared to commit their time or aren't prepared to produce software and then sell it or whatever.
Do you think it's something that's going to change over the next couple of years? Because I mean, at one point you had no kind of way of having a shopping cart. For quite a while, there was no open source shopping carts, and then there was one.
I think there's
just chicken and egg, innit?
There's like earlier on I gave the example of the enterprise group server that's done by Sonokin in Coventry. They knew that the market needed a CRM, and CRMs aren't that interesting, to be honest. Hmm. So they've made it, and they're GPLing and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
They've based their business around this kind of software in different ways. And it seems that you need someone like that who's going to say, okay, we've identified that people need this. We can fit a business model around it because it seems like the open source community aren't really that interested in it. If you look at...
Maybe it's something you could set up on PledgeBank.
The distinction between what John is talking about, what Matt's talking about, is things like CRM or Zencart or whatever are third-party developed server software.
Exactly.
And what we're short of is third-party developed client desktop software.
Yes, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I think just to sum up, I would say that the real difference as well is that with a bit of CRM software, you can develop it and you've got your core there, and that's almost it. But with some very specialist business software, such as tax software.
We haven't got the core,
No, not just that you haven't got the core, but you then have to have the commitment that someone will sit and do that boring work every time that there's a budget announcement.
Yeah. It's the end of the show.
Yeah,
certainly is.
Time for emails / voicemails.
Yes.
Now, we had a bit of a technical hitch at the end of the last programme.
Yeah.
Didn't we, Matthew?
We did. We, I gave out the wrong phone number for the voicemail, so I apologise. I'd like to clarify now that it is 0870-931-1730. And for our international listeners, that's +44 870-931-1730. And that basically is a lesson in not singing something when you can say it.
Excellent.
And maybe looking at the number before you say it as well.
It only pointed out that that's not really a technical hitch.
It's just a bonehead hitch.
We have had a slight technical hitch because we did, despite the wrong numberage,
we
did get three voicemail messages, two of which I think were from the same person
far
and were
too quiet. Yeah.
You couldn't hear what you're saying. You did sound American. Perhaps it was you, Chuck.
And the other one we're going to use on a future show.
Yes.
Maybe the
Scottish
next show.
Bampot.
Yeah, we want to give it some justice.
Yeah.
So,
so do keep sending your voicemails.
Keep sending them.
Keep sending them.
So, we are actually going to read some of the emails that we've had over summer.
It would be impolite if we weren't.
Anybody want to
cue letters jingle?
I'll kick off.
Right, go on.
One of the emails we got was from Barbie from the Birmingham Pearlmongers.
Hey, Barbie.
Who is a man?
who's just trying to let us know about various things they're doing. The Birmingham Pearl Mingers have won the bid to host
Mungers.
Birmingham Pearl Mungers have won the bid to host the 2006 Pearl Conference.
Yeah,
in
this
Birmingham,
is pretty cool,
apparently.
Actually. Yeah.
Which is quite cool if you like Pearl.
Yeah.
And everyone who does like Pearl and is near Birmingham is already in the Mingers, I think.
We don't really like Pearl, but we do like Barbie.
We do like Barbie, so.
And we like the Mingers, so.
And we like Steve,
good work, good work, Barbie,
minute,
and the
Mingers.
Do we
not like Pearl?
Yeah, dog shit.
Not really.
Pearl equals Python. It's the same thing.
Anyway.
No. Okay.
Let's
just skate over that issue.
Anyway, well done, the Mingers. They say they can do a kind of mini expo sort of thing.
Yeah, it looks good.
So yeah, I think it'd be great.
And we'll possibly be
even
there
better.
Reporting.
It's going to be in Birmingham, which is where I live.
Birmingham. Yep. Nice one.
You Pearl user, you.
Hey. I've got an email from Richard Hefty.
Oh, what a great name.
Unusually for us, we take the piss out of the name. It says, "Hello, Brummy Linux fans. I've just started a job at TomTom in Amsterdam."
Well done.
Did you know that TomTom Go devices run Linux?
Yes.
Okay. No, I didn't.
I believe Jono's got one, actually.
Yeah, they do run Linux. And John Masters informed me today, when he was sat in my car, apparently there was some GPL problem with the TomTom Linux, but it's all been straightened out now.
And finally, he says, "When are you lazy bastards going to put some material on your website, then? The show is great. Keep it going."
What kind of material? What, pornography? Or?
I think he means that, yeah.
I thought he meant, like, Amsterdam. perhaps we should change the background so it looks like cloth.
Maybe we could get some of those really great
Gingham
background textures that you used to be able to get from the Netscape website.
if the background's made out of cloth, would the text be touching it?
Touching the cloth. Oh, it's terrible.
Right, I've got an email.
Strange.
Oh, going out
I've
of sequence.
Got an email.
That's okay. Oh, okay.
Just fuck up the sequence then.
Come on, Bacon.
Right. Do you want to say that? I'm willing to.
Remember,
to
it's sacrifice. Counterclockwise, Matthew.
Counterclockwise, Matthew. Okay. I've had an email from Richard Querin. The Global Frickin' Interweb is his title.
Nice.
Don't read any more. That's the end.
He says, "Hello, gentlemen, greetings from Canada."
Hey.
I met a Canadian bloke today, and I nearly said to him, "Do you come from Canada, incidentally?" Thanks, you bastard.
Jit-card
chips. Oh, no, that's card chips. He says, "First off, in case you actually read this during the show," which we are, I'll give you the requisite amount of time to goof on my surname, as you guys always seem to do.
What was his surname?
Richard Wanker.
No.
That's a harsh surname, my God.
Richard Querin.
Oh, right. Okay.
There's nothing goofy about that. Maybe goof means something else
in
Canada.
Perhaps it means perfectly sensible.
He says, "I'm very new to Linux. I actually went with Ubuntu before finding your show, and I was pleased to hear that you guys like it for the most part, because I really wouldn't know a good one from a bad one, at least not yet, although I'll stay the hell away from Gentoo."
Yes.
He says, anyway...
This time, you know, we've been 18 months doing this. It's not been wasted.
Yeah, he says, "Anyway, I really like the show, and I've been listening to back episodes the past couple of weeks on my way back and forth from work. While I haven't had too many cases of outright lug radio syndrome, one specific bit did get me wetting my pants."
Excellent.
He says, on some of the more recent shows, "I always chuckle to myself when one of you referred to the internet as the global interweb. For some reason, even just typing the fucking word makes me chuckle." Anyways, listen to episode 7, season 2. I could be wrong. You're not wrong. I think it was that ginger bastard that finally had enough with being called the global fucking interweb. It was at this point my bladder control was heavily tested. Just to finish off, he says, "I've listened to a few podcasts over the past year or so, and suffice to say, yours is probably the best I've heard."
Yeah.
You're not wrong. The group of you really have the knack for it. The knackers for it.
Thanks very much.
You're miles above a load of others in terms of humour, liveliness, and sound quality, and you're all really handsome. And I'm not judging you on the merit of your technical knowledge.
Yeah, no, he chopped out the bit where he said, "apart from the bald one."
I think.
So yeah, thanks very much, Richard Grillen.
he did, even though he's got a fairly standard surname, he did specifically request a bashing.
Yeah. Not well, the first person on the internet to request a bashing.
I've got an email here from Richard Westby Nunn. So, you know, there you go.
Richard Westby Nunn.
Westby Nunn. Westby Nunn. His subject line is, "What the fuck are wikis?" He says, "Hey,
go to Wikipedia."
Well,
looking up on the wiki.
Listen to his email. He says, "Hey, guys, great show. Listen to it at work on my headphones and keeps me in hysterics. Yeah, it still discusses the valuable stuff Cheers! As for my title, don't you want to do a discussion on it as to what the fuck are wikis? I have checked the net and found out, ironically enough, a description is on Wikipedia.org. Would be nice to hear it from you guys, though.
Yeah, that's so, like that's like Ray Ayn on your wedding day. That
that's random. What's that about?
So anyway, a wiki is
a wiki is an editable web page. There you go. We've discussed it.
But anyone could edit, and they're quite good sometimes. They're quite bad.
And if you've ever got a problem, just set up a wiki. That'll solve it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wiki solve all problems.
And never wiki. To us, John, Jim will never stop.
Desperado. We've got one here from Hazel Squadines.
Hazel.
Now there's a name.
Who says, Hazel. Hi, or Kiobo, I'm from Tijuana, Mexico.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You said Hazel.
I said Jesus.
Oh. Can you do it in the accent, please?
Give it to Matthew.
Lug Radio was the first podcast that I found about Linux, and the search was over.
Ray!
Keep infecting people with the Lug Radio syndrome, we're doing our level best. a question, have you tried Mepis? To which the answer is yes.
And it was,
what do you think of it? And the answer
sucks
was,
the dog's cock.
I couldn't have put it better myself.
Which dogs? Bangers or Frankies?
Well, there would be a difference in the payload.
Bangers is bigger, so.
and hairy.
I appreciate the Mepis guy is, you know, he's trying
to
hard. He's putting, you know.
No, absolutely. He's all serious
together,
he is.
Unfortunately, it's cock.
I heard an interview with him once, actually, and he didn't sound particularly good.
Was that on the Linux Link Tech Show?
Yeah.
Right. Hola, Jesus. Yep. No hablo mucho
good
español.
Good days to us from Jesus Armando, an Ubuntu user. Although, his name appears to be Jesus Godinez in the header, so I'm a bit confused now.
Armando.
Is his middle name Scorchio?
Isn't Armando the cheap suits that you can buy from Matalan?
No.
I don't know. I don't go to Matalan.
Only you would know.
I spend all my time in
look at my suit. You'll see
Matalan.
I go to Primark.
Right, I got an email from Tim Joyce from Canada.
From Canada?
Oh, another one!
More Canadians.
Bloody beaver eaters.
Huge fan of the...
Really?
Sorry about that. Huge fan of the show. I've listened to every episode twice. Best show out there. We get a lot of praise, haven't we?
I think he's mailed us before.
More brickbats, please.
I suspect that he wants money.
Ah, right. Or we've just picked all the praise
is
ones.
He gonna
and
say,
away the other ones.
Is he going to say, this letter may come as a surprise to you, but I need some money in the 1 or 2 million for my Nicaraguan business transaction.
Right. I'll get on with it.
It can happen.
I listen to a different episode every day on the way to every day on my commute to work, and I'm waiting
like a mayfly is over my breath 36
for season 3. Scrotal humour rocks.
Yes, it does.
Indeed,
yes,
it does. I'm a tech support guy at a large outsourcer here in Toronto, and in my spare time I promote Linux to my friends and co-workers. I would like to see more discussion of alternative distros such as Damn Small Linux, Smoothwall, and Musix. Some of these are specialized distros and are doing some interesting things. I'm hoping I can save up enough money to come over to see Lug Radio Live 2.
Oh, nice.
Looking forward to your new shows.
Thank you.
Your new fan, Tim Joyce, Canadian Linux nerd on the forums.
Thanks, Tim.
Welcome. You would be extremely welcome over at Lug Radio Live 2.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You will get in free because you're an international traveller.
You're an internationalist.
And I would point out that I think he's completely right, and I think we discuss Ubuntu too much, and we should discuss alternative distributions like Xubuntu.
Yeah.
I was thinking, what?
And Edubuntu as well.
And Edubuntu and Kubuntu. They're the alternatives we're going to discuss. Yes, indeed.
You're a fool. Jono. Not you're a fool, Jono. You're a fool, Ack.
Nah.
Jono, let's hear your email.
Do you remember a certain chap called John Dodson?
I've heard of him.
Oh, I've heard that
John
name somewhere.
John was responsible for the...
Keep sending him in.
For the keep sending him in.
Agreed. Wow.
Anyway, you may remember that in the last episode, we created our own jingle.
Yes.
And unfortunately, some of the people on the forums didn't quite get that it was a joke.
I think most of the people on the forums.
I can't believe, right? The last time I saw it, John's had
it
12 votes,
mistake.
And ours had 10 votes, for God's sake.
It's yeah, ridiculous. And also, guys,
it was actually an outtake, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were just faffing about and you put some echo on it.
So it was ridiculous, and you should all be ashamed of yourselves.
And all those people who are bashing John's, send us yours then.
Yeah,
if you're so
on.
Good.
Yeah.
So we want to hear it.
So John,
keep the spirit going. John sent us an email just saying, I vote for Lug Radio jingle number 2, which is ours.
Yeah.
And he says, I hear the U2 influence.
Yeah,
I'm sure
you
two are going to be well pleased with that.
I think they actually would.
I'd say to John, with regards to the jingles, keep sending them in.
Keep sending them in.
I've got an email from Jorge Ocastro. And it's entitled...
Castro's written to us.
That's a cool name.
Yeah. Jorge.
Jorge or Castro.
Which, Jorge sounds good, but then you realise it's just George.
Is it?
Yeah.
George Castro.
Is that Whitbrush?
Yeah.
Really? Well, he's actually famous.
Oh, really?
Is he?
Wicked.
Who's he?
He's a gnome hacker.
Oh, hi, Jorge.
He's not a gnome hacker, is he?
Thought he was.
He's just a gnome fan. He writes for Ars Technica.
Let's not worry about who he is.
I thought he was... never mind. Anyway, I think.
The important thing...
I've heard of him.
The important thing is that he's a Lug Radio fan.
Yes.
He says, a few shows back, you guys did this thing in between segments that I thought was cool. It's basically someone rang in and says, hey, this is blah blah from blah, and we're at the blah pub in blah town at the Ubuntu release party.
There's Ubuntu boys.
Yeah. And he says, anyway, I thought it was cool, so I fired up the release party page at wiki.ubuntu.com/breezyreleaseparty. Bit late for this, sorry, guys. He says, if you want people to call into some place, I think it would be useful to post it on that page. Metal rules, Jorge.
Right. So, metal rules?
Yeah.
It certainly does.
Well, he's got a metal rule.
Yeah.
Only every
metal
steel.
Rules and those, like, pairs of compasses that you put a little pencil in.
So, thanks, Jorge.
But we'll do it for Dapper.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Question for you. Dapper.
Yep.
Duck or dragon?
It's a duck.
Drape.
It's a drape. Yeah, it's a duck.
It's a duck.
Dapper Drake. Yeah.
Yeah, but Drake.
Ducks
is
are
it,
wicked.
There's a vote on the Ubuntu site. Is Drake means dragon or Drake means duck?
It only ever means duck.
No, the point is it can mean either.
Yeah. Yes, it
but
can.
But do you want the mascot for Dapper Drake to be
a lot
a
of people
duck
are voting for dragon.
Oh,
it's got to be a duck.
Oh, yeah. It's a duck.
If it's going to be a dragon, you're going to get some Games Workshop people are going to be attracted to it.
You've got to have ducks. I've got plenty of duck photos on my website.
Was it only me that had deja vu when Ak went, you're all wrong?
Anyway, next email.
Next email is from James Purser, who's in Australia.
Australia.
Who says, hi guys, I thought I would let you know about a couple of fortnightly podcasts my wife and I produce
for the
Linux and free and open source software community here in Australia. The Linux Australia Update talks to people throughout the community about different projects and events.
Cool.
And the Lug Roundup talks to lugs around the country. I'm not sure you're allowed to call it Lug Roundup. That's a bit similar, isn't it? talks to lugs around the country, as well as providing a fortnightly list of upcoming events. So, good show, that man.
Yeah.
We want to hear more people doing podcasts, because it gives more people who can write into us and say, you're still the best Linux podcast. Yeah.
I think also we need to basically say, Bonza, mate.
Bonza.
Oh, thank you for that.
So if you'd like to have a listen, drop into this URL, which completely fails the telephone test, which is la-pod.k-sit.com.
Which you're going to turn a URL.
Simple as that.
Or James, come onto our forums and post a link about it there.
Yeah, but I'll try and do something. Did you notice, by the way?
Very well done,
in the write-up of the last one, it not only had links, but it had timings as well.
Yeah, a lot of people said that.
Took me fucking ages to do that.
That got some good feedback.
That was good work there, that man.
Good
did
work.
It? I didn't see any feedback about it.
My email is from Laszlo Pandy.
Another cool
Laszlo
name.
Pandy.
We're getting some wicked names in
here. Yeah. And from all over the world
Bob
as well.
Bob Scratchings is going to write you next week, isn't he?
And he makes the point that one of you guys mentioned this as a joke in a past episode, but now there is really an XFCE flavour of Ubuntu named Zubuntu. Yeah, exactly. Is that yet another thing that we've achieved?
Ex-Ubuntu.
I'm thinking it is.
I'd like to think it is.
No, it is.
I think next time it's going to be Bash-Ubuntu.
It does say that they plan to release it with us as close to the official Breezy release. Well, yet they did do that. By the time you check in, by the time your first Season 3 show is out, it should already be on the go. Yeah, it is. Yeah, basically that's all he's
wicked
saying. Yeah,
maybe
cool,
we should have. Maybe we should set up an effort to release Suzy Ubuntu. She's basically Suzy that's brown. Yeah. Isn't that be a great idea? There's so many drinks.
No, I've got X Ubuntu. Do we like the idea?
Yeah, I do.
Definitely.
I really rate XFCE, and I know that you guys have got different feelings on it.
I really think my fucking chin.
Right.
Personally. In fact, mychin.org. Which points to the Lug Radio site now, thank you,
nice.
My mate Bill.
Yeah, cheers, Bill.
It's great for knackered old machines, which won't run GNOME.
Mychin.org.
It's good if you want a Linux desktop that runs at a reasonable speed.
Mychin.org.
No, mychin.org. or go and check out the
chin. Our chins.org.
Our chins.
Bill runs off to register something else.
It's like some kind of social network, our chins.org.
I think chin is Chinese for penis, isn't it?
Well, another pointless Matt Riddell
fact. That means practically everyone in China is called, like, James Penis.
As opposed to James Hillchin. I had a mail from Chris Edwards. He says, hi, guys. This is just another backslappy email, which we like.
Hooray! really says, read those ones,
then. Hi, guys. Just wanted to thank you for the laugh out loud moment you gave me while listening about dogs smoking fags.
Beagles, they do!
They don't smoke fags.
They fucking do, John.
They don't.
In research labs, they do.
Go on, move on.
Anyway, near midnight, working on a research project and listening to you all has been great. Keep up the good work. I'm a newbie to Linux, actually writing this on Evolution using the Ubuntu distribution.
Oh, Breezy. God.
They have added...
We just created a whole load of Ubuntu clones, haven't we?
That's right. Thanks for the laugh. So, yeah. Is that everything?
We're glad you liked it.
Thomas Pearl, just briefly, our mate from Austria, has said, I just released GPodo 0.3, a Linux podcast client.
They're actually on 0.4 now, because I've tried it, but carry on.
Pearly.net/project with a K-T-E. So
do you want to spell Pearly? Cause it's...
Yep. So it's P-E-R-L-I. P-E-R-L-I.net. slash project, and that's K-T-E at the end instead of C-T if you're English.
Just Google for it.
Slash G-Podder.
if you Google for G-Podder, you will find it.
Yeah. Just type G-Podder into your Firefox browser bar.
I actually tried it over the summer. It is nice to have a graphical podcatcher. It really is. I think there's some interface changes they could possibly do with changing, and I'm sure that they're going to want me to specify now. Maybe we'll do that on another show. But thank God we've actually got a graphical one now. I know that there are other ones, but this is the first one that's actually worked. It's written in Python, so you should be interested.
There's a graphical front end for BashPodder.
They need to build it into GNOME, though.
Well, yeah, I'm sure...
Instead of having to use the client, it should be part of the desktop.
I'm sure those boys will
do it. You know, it can happen.
We'll make it happen. Yeah.
Never mind you coders, just go out and do it.
Okay, I've got I think it might be the last email. Guy from Texas in the US of A.
What, Texas Home Care?
From America.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. And it's Robert Abraham, so I don't know if he's possibly related to the ex-president.
Just having the same name.
Or the mythical figure from history.
Oh, that's him, yeah.
his first
possibly name. Wasn't a president then. Right, I'm from Dallas.
Not that one.
I'm from Dallas, Texas in the USA, and I'm an American listener, and I love Log Radio. I've been listening from season 2, and I'm still loving it. Keep up the good work, and I'm running Ubuntu. God, is this getting a bit... Is this the Ubuntu show or something? post your names on www.frapper.com/Ubuntu.
Yep.
And he also asks, could we talk about Edubuntu?
Yes.
And we'll do that at a future point.
We will.
So thanks for that email, Robert.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Any of you boys got any more emails?
I think that's everything.
So send us
Bruno emailed us to say thanks very much for his ticket to Euroscon. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Bruno.
Which you won at Lug Radio Live.
Yeah, so there's another reason to come to Lug Radio Live.
Yeah.
We have a campaign for various bits and pieces. Like, we have the campaign for the clipboard.
The clipboard,
Right? This is a little campaign I'd like to put forward.
You haven't consulted us on this?
I have, actually.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if you were in the room, but it doesn't really matter.
You don't know whether you spoke it or thought it, yeah?
Well, it all basically means the same. Second Life.
Yeah.
Right? This massively online, massively multiplayer client. It's all based upon Linux and Orbis and not everything.
The server
you have to pay for it.
There ain't a Linux client.
There isn't a Linux client. No.
I don't know if we talked about it on the show. I can't remember.
No, we talked about it in the pub.
In the pub.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it maybe on the next show.
We'll talk about it when there's a Linux client.
But there needs to be a Linux client for it. So go and pester them. And also go to pledgebank.com/rights.
With reference to Second Life.
So, yeah.
Alternatively, rather than badgering them to do a Linux client, you just get a First Life.
So thought we could do. Controversial again. There are some interesting people on that thing. I don't use it myself, but it just seems ridiculous that there isn't a Linux client.
Absolutely, If they're going to use Linux servers on the back end, surely to God they've got to realise the value of Linux client. Anyway, keep sending those emails in. We'll read them if we can be bothered. Keep sending us the voicemails in.
Yes.
And the telephone number is...
0870931173.
And for our international listeners...
+44
0 close bracket. Nice attention to detail.
870931173.
Was that the right number, Matt?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Okay, boys.
Right. One last thing. Go to frapper.com. Go to lugradio.org/map and add yourself to the map.
Add yourself to
forums.lugradio.org.
We've got over 300 and odd people
already.
I know,
that's
in a
mad.
Week. It's amazing, yeah.
#radio3node.net.
Yep. / get involved.
See you later. We'll look forward to getting home.
Ta-ta a bit.
Bye.
Bye.